has joined.
Good evening.
Has joined.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
So unless I hear differently, we're going to move forward to Pasuk 264 from the Sulam commentary on the Zohar, from Parasha Vayera, and going to be studying Pasuk 264 tonight. We'll start with the L'shem Yehud. L'shem Yehud Kutshab Rechu Rishkin David Kilu Urchimu Ud Kilu Ud Kilu Urchimu Liakta L'shem Yudhe Bavavhe V'yichuda Shalim B'shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah La'asok Torah Mitzvah V'yihino Amadunai Eloheinu Aleinu Ma'aseh Yadeinu Kanunei Aleinu Ma'aseh Yadeinu Kanuneihu V'tachatei Nun Yitzmaneu Mitzdeka Be'ifrei Of Kutsha Barihu Mana Minaihu Taim Bialma Deinu Valma Beate Bekama Deinun Manu Orchin Us Vilin Mi Bene Alma Einun Kutsha Barihu Mana minaihu Orchin ushvilin Rachame lirachama Alaihu bialma Dein valma Deate. The translation. Come and see. They refrained from giving charity, which is called life. Thus the Holy One, blessed be He, withheld life from them in this world and in the world that is coming. And just as they blocked the pathways and routes for other people, so did the Holy One, blessed be He, block the pathways and routes of mercy from them, so that they could not receive mercy in this world or in the world that is coming. My commentary. The verse is clear as written. The word being translated as charity is mi-tzedakah, which is actually from tzedakah. See, our basic class on tzedakah and food to learn the requirements.
Angela.
Tzedakah
has
requires
joined.
One to find a truly poor person, like yeshem.com. The commentary by Bracha, verse 264 verifies the reason that the generation of Sodom's eternal punishment was due to their lack of giving charity to their fellow men. This cause and effect relationship created the blockages, whereby the people were prevented from receiving Hashem's merciful judgment in this world and in the world that is coming. Note that Hashem was the one putting the blockages before the people from finding His merciful pathways. A question. What does this passage remind and instruct you to do? Now that you understand Hashem's justice in both worlds. Questions, comments, thoughts.
I know, because just a thought that came to me as you were reading. I noticed that in the last previous verses, the last three that we've been reading, it's amazing to me how the verses are being redundant about the severity of what had taken place in these two distinct time periods during the flood, as well as in the city of Sodom and Gomorrah and all the other three that were also destroyed. So, to me, that just is a reminder that those of us who are presently in this age allowed to hear Zohar, and especially with our knowledge, if we do have a baseline of Tanakh, to be well aware that that is being emphasized several times with the clarity to help us use this as a gauge of where we are, not necessarily just in tzedakah giving, but it's in regards to how we see our fellow man, not in separation, but that we are all souls working towards similar goals, maybe not, but yet we're here for training. That was the thought that came into my mind as you were reading.
Thank you for sharing. But does anyone else want to comment?
Well, Proverbs says charity spares one from death.
But the word is tzedakah, so it's not charity.
Right. Well, the English was.
Yes, I agree, but I wanted to clarify that for anybody who's listening on the recording. But in comment to what Bracha said, and also what Hannah's just said, we read about the earlier generations in the Bible. Has the generation actually changed? Or are we still doing the same mistakes? I have my answer to that question, and I heard that from my teachers, and they're really consistent about it. But it's a question that we each have to ask ourselves. Because we are taught in the Western world that this generation is smarter than the earlier generations because we have technology. This generation is more, treats people fairly because we set up societal norms that are supposed to provide for people. And for the most part, maybe they do. But the question is that I'm asking is, are we lower or are we higher than the earlier generations? Have we truly made changes? Go ahead.
I don't think we've made changes. I believe that each generation would be tested or gaborim, right and left. I think they go back in history and read, and then they take from history what's in their heart, and they bring it to action. I think each action we've done is kind of the same action that was done in ancient times. Are we higher than the other generations? Absolutely no. Spiritually, I say no, absolutely not. And, you know, a lot of these young generations, like, we don't want to know what history taught. We don't want to hear about a history. We don't want to hear about our ancestors. We don't want to, don't preach to me about our ancestors. But in true sense, they are indeed going back to some history that pleases them. It doesn't please their agenda. Or they don't want to hear it, you know. But you've got to take the good and the bad to make decisions, and they don't. A lot of the generations didn't want to do that, you know. So that's my comment.
Thank you.
I know. My thought on this is that we are in school, so we cannot compare ourselves with other generations because we came in for specific lessons. The most biggest challenge we have in our age today, especially with the younger generation, they're not interested in to know the ways of God at all. You either are or you're not. The generation that I came from, because I came during the baby boom age, there was a surge of knowledge in every aspect, spiritually, you know, materially, as well as psychologically. I mean, the expansiveness of knowledge that was given to us. But yet I found that if you do not have a baseline that, and an understanding that this world was created by a creator, with a specific instruction for us, and we have no memory of that, and we don't want to know, then that really targets in that are we any different than the generations before us, even if they were considered, what I understand, more spiritually elevated because they were so far aware, more aware that Hashem was available. But in this existence, what we're finding as we are coming closer and closer, going through the birth pains of Moshiach, all of it, the darkness that has come through is overwhelming. But when you stay with the text of Torah and you continue to be on the path and you follow the directions, just the simple directions like in Ecclesiastic, what does it tell you at the end? That your main job is to know Hashem's ways and to, you know, to live that way, but also that you hunger and desire for that connection. So you're either a seeker or you're not. And yet at the same time, many people are now able to see the darkness of the evil that is done by the choices of behavior that they've done in the area of greed and selfishness that is so much more evident today. So what choice do we have? We came here to be developed, to expand our growth, and we're being matured by the choices we make, and at the same time, we're cleaning up our tikkun olam work at the same time. As we come to understand the full dynamics of the functioning of our mind, our body, and then our senses and our emotions, it's quite overwhelming sometimes if you do not take these in consideration. So are we higher than the other generations? No, I don't think so, because we were those generations at some time. We just came here to do cleanup work. If we are really focused on maintaining that love and that honoring of our Creator, Yira of Adonai, on a level of awe, but also recognizing that the choices that we're making at this present time is either dissolving away, you know, the karma of the tikkun olam that we came to correct, or we've only increased it because we're more influenced about the influence of the materiality that's been portrayed to us as being more of it, more of value. That's the deceptions that are done in this world. Anyway.
Again, thank you for the comments. As you said, Bracha, the generation of the desert, the generation of the first redemption, is our generation. We're the same souls. So what happens? As an example, and I'm making up these numbers, but I'm using it as a metaphor. There was a person who lived in the time of Moses and the redemption. And that person had 100 tikkunim, 100 different corrections to achieve. And that person left Egypt with those 100 corrections to make. And that person was involved in the sin of the spies. So he was condemned to death, and he died during the 40 years. And maybe he achieved one of his corrections during those years that he had made the mistake of the sin of the spies, but he corrected something. But he now comes back in another lifetime with 99 things to do. And he corrects 10 of them. Comes back with 90 of them to do. And by the time he reaches our generation, he still has 89 of those 90. Or maybe he only has one of those 90. But in reality, that same correction needs to be made. And all of those lifetimes that he may have gone through, He hasn't made those corrections. He still has the same correction. And what my teachers explain, each generation is the same. Because the only reason you're in the physical world is because you did not complete your tikkun in the last lifetime. And maybe you did achieve a particular tikkun, but you still have all the others to do. And you also still have more of the same kinds of mistakes. Because each time you're given that opportunity to correct something, and you didn't do it, you veiled your ability to do it for the next lifetime. You made it more difficult. And so the answer to the question, if we look at the Bible as a history book, which it is not a history book, and we shouldn't make that mistake. But if one of the frames of reference, one way we understand the Bible is it's telling us our history, we're still making those exact same mistakes over and over and over. And each time we make that exact same mistake, we're making it more difficult in the next lifetime. And this is the reality that we need to realize. This is what this verse is telling us. And as Bracha said in her comment at the beginning, the last three verses seems to be a repeat of the same thing. But it really isn't a repeat. It's a reminder that we're the same soul making the same mistake over and over again. And if we do not take that message from the three different verses that seem to be the same, then we never get the light to be able to overcome that mistake. Because we can't do the, we don't overcome our own tikkun. We don't really achieve the tikkun. What we do is take a small step, maybe two small steps. But then Hashem comes in and gives us the strength by revealing the light. It makes us see, and so we do the right action this time, and we achieve that correction. But that effort of taking the one step is a big, huge step. Most people do not take that first step towards making the correction. But if we do take that first step, the rest of the steps are completed by Hashem. And that's the idea of the movie, the cassette recording that's showing our movie. Because once we take that first step that stops the reactive behavior, we move into a movie where the tikkun is accomplished. But that's all Hashem. It's not us. Yes, we have the material. We have the benefit. Because we stopped our reaction, we move into a movie. But it's never us who completes it. It's always Hashem supporting us in those actions, which is what the movie is all about. But we keep thinking it's us who keeps doing the steps. And yes, we're appreciative. We see Hashem's hand in our achieving our tikkun. And we're appreciative of his support. But the reality is, we need to appreciate that he achieved our tikkun. because it truly isn't us who achieves it. Would anybody like to comment on what I've said, or should I go on to the next verse?
Well, just to clarify, you're saying that if we can take the first step, the first initiative, then Hashem will set us on the right path of reaching that cocoon for our soul's cocoon. Is that what you're stating, or did I get that completely wrong?
No, that is what I'm saying, but it's even more than he sets us on the right path. He's written the movie so that, except for the issue of binding by striking, of stopping our reactions and delving into our internal makeup and determining, understanding why we do become reactive in that way. Except for that, the movie is written by Hashem, it's produced by Hashem, and it's implemented by Hashem. So we think we're moving into the various stages of our lives. And we again see this pattern of behavior, whatever example we want to use of making a correction, that pattern of behavior. But that pattern of behavior was written, that whole movie of our life has been written by Hashem. And it has been produced by Hashem. And he has sent all of the tools, all the different people that have come into our life. And he has written it so that we don't have a free choice as to what we will do in that movie. But because we chose this movie through binding by striking, then he is implementing that movie and making the correction. He's sending those people who give us the insights and, oh, that's why we should do that. And so we do it. And it achieves the correction. But it's not us who does the correction. It's Hashem's movie. We're just playing along. We're just acting along. The only free will we have is whether to stop our reactions or not.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, as Bracha said, these last three verses seem to be saying the same thing. But they're not the same thing. They're different movies, different situations. And most of us will not recognize it, and some will. I once sat in a third meal with Rabbi Berg, when he was giving a drash after the meal, before we went to pray Arvit. And there was at least 500 people in the room. And he looked around the room and he said, I've been speaking now for 45 minutes, and you've all heard the same words. And out of the 500 people in this room, maybe five have understood what I was saying. Let's go and pray now. And most people got up from the table and walked away. They walked towards the place of prayer, and the women stayed behind to clean up, waiting for the Havdalah. The action was, every one of them, 495 people, thought that they were one of the five. And the five men who sat and stared at the walls, thinking, what didn't I understand about what he said? They were the only one who got the message. always true. If you think you understand, Kabbalah teaches you're not even aware of where you're going. But if you're confused, you're on the right path. And I thank you all for discussing everything you discussed in this class, because it was all accurate and all appropriate. And each one of you have a different perspective. The question is, do you listen to the other one? Or this is the way you see it and you haven't heard the others? Because your opinion is correct, but so is theirs.
I must be on the right path because my brother gave me a nickname, Miss I Don't Know Where You Are or Where I Am. And half of the time, I never know. So that's on the lighter side, because this was a heavy class.
Well, I'm sorry it was a heavy class.
It was heavy for me.
It was a heavy class. The issue is, and Brandy, your brother may think that you don't know where you are, but you actually do.
Because you depend
on Hashem.
That's right, I do.
And as long as you depend on Hashem, you will stop the reaction and you'll look into yourself and say, what is my motivation? And that's where binding by striking manifests. That's where it comes into play. And that's when you choose the movie that you're choosing.
I can remember the first time you taught us binding by striking. And then I said, told you that I had it. I had it down pat, binding by striking. I said it took me 3 blocks to run that fella down, to bind him up and strike him. You told me, you said, no, that's not it.
I do remember that class.
Goodness.
But you stuck around, Brandy, so you put up with me for a number of years.
And you put up with me for a number of years. They were even.
But I'm still teaching the same thing. And you're still chasing the same guy.
That's hilarious.
You all have a good evening. Let me mention a couple of things because I forgot to mention it last week. On tonight's class will be an RE class at 7 p.m. West Coast time, the late class. Tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. West Coast time, we will have a reading of the Torah representing the reading, the slaughtering of the various bulls, so that we can cause the other nations to receive their energy, to share the energy with them, so that we can eliminate anti-Semitism this coming year. So I hope you'll join us. There will be more than just the reading, because that just only takes about 10 minutes. But perhaps we'll do the morning blessings, or we'll do a few other things that might be beneficial, but you can figure on about a 30-minute if you're interested in joining us. And tomorrow, there's the 2 o'clock class, will be the continuation of the study of the book of Joshua. And again at 4:30, we will continue this next verse is 265, unless you want to continue this discussion. And at 7 p.m. tomorrow night is the Tikkuni Zohar. So I hope to see you in one or more of the classes as you wish. Chag Sameach, enjoy sitting in the sukkah. Enjoy sleeping in the sukkah, even when it gets cold. All you have to think about is the sun reflecting off the sand on that warm beach of your memory. Chag Sameach.
Chag Sameach.